I'd like to bring this meeting of House Fisheries to order. Let the record reflect that it is about 5 minutes till nine on Friday, April 20th. And present are Representative Johnson, Representative Ledoux, Representative Edgman, myself, Representative Seaton, and we have also with us Representative Bill Thomas. And today we have three items on our agenda, and those are the review of the appointees to the Board of Fish. I wanted to remind everybody that this committee is reviewing the qualifications. And then we will, after reviewing those qualifications, we will pass these names to the joint session for consideration. It's not available to this committee to hold these nominations unless they're not here for review. Our recommendations, whether positive or negative, can be made individually, and that will be at a vote of the joint session. And so anyway, just wanted to remind everybody of that process. Some in the public have been under the misimpression that it's like a bill that the committee can hold a nominee. And that's not the format that is used. The format is that the committees review the qualifications and ask questions to see where the nominees' philosophies are and whether we think those will be beneficial to the state. And then we will forward those on along for further analysis by other committees. For further review by other committees, and then that will come up at a joint session. Are there any questions? Representative Ed.
Mr. Chairman, then our recommendation is to go forward to the Resources Committee then.
That's correct. Resources Committee will also hear these, and we can make individual recommendations as to whether a nominee should go forward or not, or if there's strenuous objection by somebody, you can forward that on to the Resource Committee, as well as to all the individual members of the House and Senate. Representative Ledoux.
So just out of intellectual curiosity, what would happen if one of the committees simply didn't hold a committee meeting on an applicant?
Representative Ledoux, my understanding is that the review of the qualifications is for the benefit of the individual members of the committees of jurisdiction of that, but those names would still go forward to the joint session without a without having been reviewed by those committees. Are there any further questions? Anything else to come before the committee before we start our review? We have the three folks, we have Larry Edfeld, who is here with us, and so we will take him first. And then we have Vince Weber of King Salmon and Howard Dilo of Big Lake, who are online. And so we will ask Mr. Edfeld to come forward, and appreciate you being here in person. And we also appreciate you putting forward your name for a position that is as divisive as any that we ever get to confirm. In case you weren't aware of that already, I will let everybody know that we have a large packet of comments from across the state on nominees, and the Board of Fisheries is often a contentious issue. So, like I say, we appreciate you coming, and let the record reflect that Representative Wilson has joined us. And Mr. Edfeld, would you go ahead and introduce yourself to the committee, and let me direct the committee that we do have your application as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Larry Edfeld. I live in Juneau. I've been appointed to a one-year term, which is the unexpired term of the late Rupe Drews, my former friend and colleague who had served on the board for several years. By way of history, I'm a retired employee of the Department of Fish and Game, where I worked from 1963 to 1986. After that, I operated a charter fishing business in the Juneau area for about 10 years. I'm a former member of the Board of Fisheries from 1992 to 1997. I don't currently belong to any fishing organizations. I participate in the Southeast Alaska recreational marine fishery almost every day from May through September.
That sounds like more fun than sitting on the Board of Fish, to tell you the truth.
And I can't think of anything else in the way of introductory material without being questioned.
Okay, thank you, Ann. And I understand here that you were Deputy Director of the Division of Commercial Fisheries?
That's correct. For 5 years.
5 years. Let me just start off. You have a packet there that is the most recent thing we've gotten from Fish and Game. We've finally gotten to the point of trying to distinguish between success being at least meeting minimum escapement in streams to managing within the goals, the lower and the upper goal. And as you can see from the statewide summary, or just about every individual stream, we've been going in kind of the wrong direction here. We are now at 55% of the streams are over escaped or above the escapement goal. And it's been a real concern of the Fisheries Committee that we do not, one of the things is we're supposed to maximize the resources and the resource value to the state and the citizens of the state. And so, like I say, this seems to be a real concern to us when 55% of our monitored streams are over escaping. And can you relate to us what your philosophy kind of is on the idea of, some people talk about waste, some people talk about foregone harvest, some people talk about foregone revenue to the people of the state, and how that relates to your job to support the Constitution to maximize the use of the resources to the people of the state?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's a huge question. Well, first of all, I'm certainly most interested in achieving the minimum escapement goals and wherever it's possible to do so. In places like, for example, Cook Inlet, there are so many different stocks involved, and not all of them are operating at high levels of abundance. And that's why within the Cook Inlet commercial fishing regulations, there are a dozen management plans for the various species of salmon in the various parts of Cook Inlet. There's certainly instances where, even by following the management plans, you're going to get so-called over-escapement, whatever that is defined as. It runs like the Kenai and the Kasilof have been generally healthy in the last few years, but the runs in the Northern District have been poor. And there's places where we're not achieving escapement goals within Cook Inlet, and there's places where we're more than achieving escapement goals in Cook Inlet. It's a difficult balancing act to achieve optimum escapements in all of those systems. It's almost mathematically impossible to maximize more than one independent variable at a time. It's a tribute to the managers, in my view, that they've been able to keep Cook Inlet runs as healthy as they have over the last several years, given the myriad of different circumstances vis-a-vis the Northern District versus the Central District streams. Within one of the management plans, for example, it indicates that achieving the minimum escapement goal in the Yentna River takes priority over keeping the Kenai River below its maximum. So there are circumstances there where it may be impossible to not over escape the Kenai if the Yentna is not achieving its goal. that, I don't know when that particular provision was adopted, but it was sometime in the last few years. You have to make priorities like that. You have to, and the priorities are, I think, correct in those management plans, that the, achieving the minimums are more important than suffering the overages.
Well, I wasn't really concentrating at this point on Cook Inlet, but if we take that instance, let's say we have a lake in the Yentna that has had pollution or something else, and you want so many fish up that river, and yet the lake isn't productive. Is your philosophy for the Board of Fish then that all of the rest of the harvest should be shut down, and it seems that if we're talking about totally weak stock management, we're talking about not having much return of to the people of Alaska, because you'll always be able to find some creek that doesn't have enough fish in it, or as many fish as you want in it.